Welcome to the Watoto Church Podcast. Prepare your heart as we listen to the message.
The Word of God is rich, it's powerful. Every time you get an opportunity to hear the Word of God, put off any distraction, because God's Word will change our lives totally. There are so many words that are spoken. I guarantee you, you're going to hear God's Word, and then you're going to hear people's words, and you're going to hear all kinds of words. But let God's Word ride above every other word. Believe the Word of God. I love the Word of God. Good to see you in church this evening. Thank you for coming as we begin the month when we get to give generously in our miracle missions offering. Are you excited? I am excited. It's a highlight month. Just watching the news, and as you were coming in, did you get your miracle missions offering envelope? Let me see you wave your envelope. That's so cool. If you haven't received your envelope, just raise your hand. You gotta get one so you can take it home and begin to prepare and pray about what God wants you to give in the miracle offering. This is really a highlight time for us. Well, as we prepare our hearts for that big weekend on the 27th and 28th of October, when we get to give our miracle missions offering, we want to focus our attention on God's Word and what God's Word has to say about this season that we are in. And we are going to look into the scriptures and help us get encouragement from God's Word as we prepare for our miracle missions offering. As Watoto Church, God has given us a mandate. It's captured in our vision, and we can simply summarize it as we celebrate Christ and we care for community. And our desire is that people everywhere will celebrate Jesus, but they will not just be spiritual and not practical. They'll celebrate Jesus but be holistic by also caring for community. We want to be practical in our faith, and we encourage all of us to be engaged in this vision in three ways: by giving your time. Time is a gift that God has given to all of us, and we can use part of our time to advance God's kingdom. By using our talents, all of us are gifted in one way or another with a talent from God. The worship team, the ushers, different teachers, facilitators, use a talent to serve God. But the third way you can engage in making this vision a possibility is through our treasure. Everybody say treasure. When I talk about treasure, that is our finances, our resources. And at Watoto Church, we have three basic ways in which we give of our treasure. One is through our tithes. A tenth of all our increase will return to God. God says you test him by doing that, and you see if you won't open up the heavens and pour out so much blessing, you won't have room enough to contain it. That's what God says. That's not me. It's his word. So we give a tithe, a tenth of all our increase. And I want to thank you, Watoto Church, for being faithful in returning your tithes. Keep doing it, because it enlarges the capacity of what God wants to do in your life. Malachi 3:10 promises that. So we give that in our blue bags, and some of us give through our digital platforms and online. You do that, or mobile money. The second way we give here at Watoto Church is by giving offerings. And so an offering is over and above our tithes, and we give a thanksgiving offering. In the Bible, there's all kinds of offerings and wave offerings and different kinds of offerings, but we also give that, and you can put your offering in the blue bag. But also we have designated offerings like the red bag that we give towards build God's house, the little crane that we give each time we gather, the flying crane that some of us have committed to giving towards build God's house on a monthly basis, an amount that God has laid on our hearts. Offerings also involve giving towards sponsoring a child, you know, supporting widows and orphans. Those are offerings, and those are things that we see in the Bible. And the third way we give that is going to be a focus for this month. We give the tithes, we give the offerings, but there's a third way we give, and that is when we give what we call an extravagant sacrificial offering. Every now and then, God calls us to go beyond what we'd ever given and give such an extravagant gift. And for us here at Watoto Church, we express that through my miracle missions offering. We go beyond, over and above, and we give. We come like that woman who had an encounter with Jesus, and she broke her box that had perfume that was worth a year's wages. She was extravagant. Says, Jesus, you've done so much. You've been so good to me. Men have used me and rejected me. Society has rejected me, but you accepted me. And I just can't help but give this most precious gift to you, even as she was preparing Jesus prophetically for another sacrificial gift he would give, and that was his life. And we see those times in the Bible where people are going over and above. And that's what we call the miracle offering, the missions miracle offering. And so as individuals and as families, we begin to prepare our hearts by praying, and we set aside what to give. I am doing it. I hope you're doing it as a family. Every year of the miracle offering, we've decided, my wife and I, we will always give more. We will always stretch ourselves. And it costs. And the way we do it is in style. For those of you who are new to the church and you're wondering, how do they do this? Man, that weekend, you come in your dancing shoes. Because we give the original way. We don't pass bags around. We bring big baskets, put them here. The worship team, something just happens in this place. And then our children come in, dancing, waving their envelopes. That's why we've given you an envelope. And they put it in the basket. Then the adults join in. Some people have not danced. That's the only time they dance in the year, because they are coming excited. We're excited. We are like David. We're saying we are bringing an offering to our King. And yes, it's big, it's sacrificial, but we can never outgive our God. And so we come and put it in and say, God, we are determined to see your kingdom advance. So you may be asking, actually, why do we have to do this every year? And that's a question, that's a valid question. Why must we give a miracle missions offering every year? The answer is very simple. It is to advance the kingdom of God, both in Uganda and beyond the borders of Uganda. As long as there is still one breathing soul that doesn't know Jesus, we are going to continue to give so that soul can meet Jesus. As long as there is still a broken person because of the things that are happening in the world around us, we are going to give so we can make a difference for that person whose world is broken. We are going to continue doing this until Jesus comes back. So there's work to do. And so it's simple. It's not about enriching anybody. It's about advancing the kingdom of God. And we are calling it a miracle missions offering. Why missions? It's because the purposes to which we designate it are all towards bringing transformation to individuals and communities. We give so we can be a blessing. That's why we give this miracle offering. It finances opportunities for people to have the most amazing encounter, and that is an encounter with Jesus. That's what it is about. Thousands of lives, my friends, have been impacted through our miracle missions offering. You know, there's a time when we think, is my life making a difference in this world? There's only so much you can do with your time. There is only so much you can do with your talent. But when you use your treasure to reach places you can't reach, it's amazing what we can do. It's amazing. God takes what we've given and he multiplies its impact. So when I think about the new celebration points we've planted, the lives that are being impacted by through our miracle offering, when we think about our children who now have a better place to worship in some of our locations, when I think about church plants that we've supported outside Uganda, people we may never see are benefiting from the generosity that's coming from here. When I think about ministries we've supported locally and globally, we give to Israel every year, because we want the gospel to reach the Jewish people. They are still waiting for a Messiah. They do not know Messiah has already come. And we want them to know about Jesus. When we think about giving towards the Pentecostal Assemblies of Canada to plant churches in the Eastern Europe, that's something that God has laid on our hearts. We begin to reach places we would never reach. Let me tell you, my friends, our generosity does not require a visa to bring impact. Hello? And so we can give so we can reach those people. So what I'm simply saying is the Miracle Missions offering is about building the kingdom of God and creating an eternal impact. When I think about the thousands of people that have given their hearts to Jesus through our youth outreach, 7,600 kids have given their lives to Jesus. That's amazing. That's amazing. Through the just three campuses, I've not even counted the others, just Bugolobi, Kansanga, and Entebbe, since we planted them, over 3,100 people have given their lives to Jesus. That's what this offering is about. It's about bringing people to Jesus. Before Jesus ascended into heaven, in Mark 16, he said to his disciples, and he says to us, that we must go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. And so the miracle offering is part of what finances the work of taking the gospel to the nations. That's what it's about. The heart of my miracle missions offering is to reach people. It's about growing and multiplying the kingdom of God. It's about touching those around us with the love of Jesus. It's about bringing healing to the cities and to the nations. And this year, we want to designate our miracle offering. Our goal is always $1 million. We want to designate it again just to those purposes that are missional. We want to plant a new celebration point every year, and we're going to use our miracle offering to do that. We want to strategically get property where our locations can be. We're going to do that. Every property is just a physical place to provide an opportunity for spiritual encounters. That's what it is about. We want to continue being generous. So we are generous when we give, but as a church, we want to be generous and bless others. And in a few weeks, you're going to hear of some of the things we want to do in Syria. Whereas ISIS is creating havoc, we want to be involved globally, not by making news, but by making a difference, a practical difference in some of those Christians who these Islamic militants are trying to harass. We want to be a blessing to them. And you're going to hear how we're going to do that. And support other local ministries. How many of you here have been blessed by Scripture Union? In one way or another, you and your school fellowship. This year, we want to give towards the work of Scripture Union, so they can continue reaching the next generation. And we're going to tell you more things that we are going to do, and we'll continue to do outreaches. It's a missions offering that we are giving, and we are giving with excitement and with extravagance. So come the 27th and the 28th, my friend, don't you plan to die before that time. You have to be here and be a part of advancing the kingdom of God. Amen. Here's what the Apostle Paul says. He says, when we are generous, it results in thanksgiving to God. God is praised. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 from verses 11 to 13. This is what it says. You will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. This service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of the Lord's people, but is also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. There's praise that comes out of an offering that we give to support God's work. Because of the service by which you have proved yourselves, others will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ and for your generosity in sharing with them and with everyone else. Paul is busy celebrating and teaching the church in Corinth about another church, other churches in Macedonia, and I'll get to talk about that. But basically what Paul is saying there, when we are generous, when we give to advance the cause of God, the result is thanksgiving to God. God will be praised. When we give an offering, my friend, like we always do every year, man does not take any glory in that. Watoto is not going to be praised. God will be praised. We are giving to God. And God will be praised when people around the world hear about a church in Africa, in Uganda, one of the poorest countries in the world, deciding to give a generous offering to bless others. God is praised when people hear that. God will be praised by people who are going to be directly impacted by our giving. Those kids in schools that are going to hear the gospel will praise God. They may not know who gave, but they'll praise God. God will keep a record and say there's somebody who gave to advance that. There is people, some refugees who are outside of Africa who are going to benefit from the giving we're going to give in our miracle offering. God will be praised by them. But hey, here's another bit, and I love this one as well. God will be praised because when you give, God responds and he also blesses us. Our desire and prayer is that as you generously give, God will be generous to you, your family, your business, your work, your school. He will do something and people will say, wow, surely there must be a God in heaven. They will praise God because of what he's doing in your life. Simply put, our miracle missions offering is a trigger for endless testimonies that will be told, not just by you, but by others. God will be praised. Bobby Houston was here last week from Hillsong Church. She was so moved by the fact that we as a church could bless other churches in places many of us have never reached. And she said to Marilyn that what God is doing in Watoto is going to be an inspiration for the church globally. Already God is receiving, even before we have given, even before, there is already a move in people's hearts saying, wow, God is praised. And we're going to be talking about God being praised through our miracle offering in the next number of weeks. So our theme verse is 2 Corinthians 9, and this is what it says, verse 11. The last part says, our generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. That thanksgiving to God, that praise that will come to God, will come through others, but also will come through you personally. When God responds to your heart by doing some things in your life that will be a testimony that cannot be denied. So I want to just a bit highlight more of what Paul is saying so we understand this miracle offering and how God is praised through it. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. I encourage you to go and read it. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and chapter 9, actually. It's about a generous giving that Paul was using churches that were unlikely to give to encourage a church in Corinth that was well positioned to give. And so Paul writes and he says, 2 Corinthians chapter 8, if you have your Bibles, from verse 1, this is what it says. And now, brothers and sisters, we want you to know about the grace that God has given to the Macedonian churches. Now, the Macedonian churches included the church in Philippi for the book of Philippians, Thessalonica, Thessalonians, and Berea. If you read in the book of Acts, the Bereans were people who really loved the word of God. They used to test people who came to teach false prophets. They would go to the word of God and say, no, what you're saying is not true. Those were basically the churches that Paul is talking about the Macedonian churches. He's using their example to encourage another church, the churches in Corinth, to give generously. And verse 2 says, in the midst of a very severe trial, their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity. They were going through trial. They were poor, basically. But they gave generously. And then he says, for I testify that they gave us as much as they were able and even beyond their ability. Wow. Paul is raving about them. And they did this entirely on their own. They urgently pleaded with us for the privilege of sharing in this service to the Lord's people. And they exceeded our expectations. These were people who were saying, man, I cannot wait. I just want to be involved. They gave themselves first of all to the Lord, and then by the will of God also to us. So we urge Titus, just as he had earlier made a beginning, to bring also to completion this act of grace on your part, speaking to the Corinthian church, saying, hey, prepare yourselves so you can also fulfill your pledge of giving. But since you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in complete earnestness, and in the love we have kindled in you, see that you also excel in this grace of giving. Paul is saying, man, church in Corinth, you guys are spiritual. You speak tongues and you cast out demons. You guys do all these things. You have love and all these things. But when it comes to your generosity, excel as well in your generosity. That's what he's basically saying. Then says, I'm not commanding you, but I want to test the sincerity of your love by comparing it with the earnestness of others. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that through his poverty you might become rich. And here's my judgment about what is best for you in this matter. Last year, you were the first not only to give, so they had already started to give, but also to have the desire to do so. Now, finish the work so that your eager willingness to do it may be matched by your completion of it according to your means. For if the willingness is there, the gift is acceptable according to what one has, not according to what one does not have. God does not judge generosity based on what you don't have. It's based on what you already have. So as the miracle missions offering is coming, whatever God lays on your heart, he will provide so you can be generous. He will. The challenge is, when he has provided, will you be obedient? So, verse 13, Paul carries on and he says, our desire is not that others might be relieved while you are hard-pressed. No, it's not about that. Because sometimes we can think, well, it looks like it's about others. What about me? Paul's saying, no, it's not about that. But it says, but that there might be equality. At the present time, your plenty will supply what they need, so that in turn, their plenty will supply what you need. What Paul is saying, give and it will be given back to you. God is no man's debtor. So the goal is equality, as it is written. The one who gathered much did not have too much, and the one who gathered little did not have too little. So I want to just capture three things that must have excited Paul about these churches from Macedonia that were poor. Paul went around planting churches after God called him. And then he would do visits again to see how these churches were doing. And this particular time, it was the third visit that Paul was making, which would be his final mission journey that he made. And he would go to encourage the churches, but this particular time round, there was a need in Jerusalem, the place where the gospel sprang from, because of a famine that was there and also persecution, and the believers were so poor, they were going through severe hardship. And Paul goes to the churches that he planted, and he is encouraging them to give. And of course, he knew the capacity of the churches he planted. The church in Corinth was a wealthy church. And so he knew they would give generously towards helping the Jerusalem brothers and sisters. But he also knew that the churches in Macedonia were also not in a very good position to be generous. They were poor and they were also experiencing some form of trial. So as Paul went encouraging them, he thought that maybe for the churches in Macedonia, let me just encourage them spiritually and I will invite them to pray for what is happening in Jerusalem so that the people there could be helped. When they heard the churches in Macedonia, the ones who are going through trial and poverty, when they heard Paul mention there was a need, they said, "Paul, you are joking. We are not just going to pray, but we are also going to give. We are going to give." And so Paul said, "Come on, guys, it's okay. The church in Corinth is in a better place. They can give." Sometimes that's how we think. We say, "Man, look at my situation. I am not in a good place. Maybe let so and so be the one to participate in the miracle offering." But for the Macedonians, they said, "No, we cannot miss out." Listen, Watoto Church, generosity doesn't depend on the condition you're in. It's about your heart. And that's why we could ask ourselves, why is it those people were generous? Here's what Paul says in verse 5, 2 Corinthians 8, verse 5. He says that they even did more than we had hoped. Why? For their first action was to give themselves to the Lord and then to us, just as God had wanted them to be. What this tells me is that the Macedonians had really had a heart transformation. And their generosity wasn't dependent on what they had, it was dependent on their hearts. True generosity is not in your bank account, it is in your heart account. Hello? All of us have an account, and I'm not talking about the one in the banks. I'm talking about the one in your heart. Here's what Jesus said in Matthew 6:21. "Wherever your treasure is, there the desires of your heart will also be." If we were to expound a little bit on this one, Jesus is saying, "Show me the way you spend your money, and I'll tell you where your heart is." It's not good enough to say, "I love God with all my heart." Does your expense sheet reflect that? That's what Jesus is saying. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be. You may fool me by saying things, but until I see your expense sheet, that's when I can confirm where your heart is. So Jesus is really saying, your account is not the one in the bank, it's the one in your heart. Generosity is a heart issue. So here are three things that I want to go through, just briefly touch, if I can, as we begin to land the plane, about the Macedonian churches. What is it that really made their giving unique so that it would cause people to praise God? So that Paul would use the example to encourage others. And I'm just going to highlight three things. from what I've read, and I hope there'll be the three things that will begin to prepare us as we get ready to give our miracle offering, as we get ready to see God being praised through our giving. Number one, the Macedonian churches gave sacrificially. Everybody says sacrificially. Chapter 8 of 2 Corinthians and the second verse says this: in the midst of a very severe trial, their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity. For I testify that they gave as much as they were able. Everybody say as much as they were able. Is that sacrificial? But he says, they gave as much as they were able. And then he says, they even went beyond. And even beyond their ability. So he says, they had a capacity and they exceeded that capacity. That is sacrificial giving. These Macedonian churches didn't have much. Paul knew. By the time Paul was saying this, he knew their capacity. By the way, by the time God lays a figure on our hearts to give as Watoto, which every year is $1 million, God knows our capacity. Because it's God who supplies what we will give. He knows. He knows. And so Paul knew their capacity, and when he saw their giving, he said, this is sacrificial. Now please understand, when it comes to my miracle missions offering, it's not about giving equal amount. It's about equal sacrifice. Because sacrifice is a heart issue. And so friends, we are not asking you to, we're not going to compare amounts and say the ones who are really sacrificially giving are the ones giving this amount. No, 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 no. It's the amount of your heart in the giving. That is how sacrifice is measured. Sacrifice is not in the amount. It reflects in the amount, but it's really on the heart. When Jesus saw that little woman who came to give, because Jesus monitors our giving. He watched how the Pharisees came and were giving. They seemed to be giving much. But this woman gave all she had. And Jesus said, that woman has outgiven everybody. It wasn't the amount. It was her heart. So as we prepare for our miracle missions offering on the 27th and the 28th, it's about your heart. The reason we ask you go and pray about it is because we don't just want to give a logical figure. We want God to speak to our hearts and then we will give. Comes from our hearts. David once had a situation. David was a man after God's own heart. I love what David's attitude was. He was a man on the run because his family had gone berserk and he was off the throne, but he never wanted to discipline his sons. And so he was on the run and he gathered some men around him. And one time he wanted to check if God would properly defend him. Usually we get into situations where the mathematics begins to take over the faith. We begin to calculate the numbers. That was where David was. So he said, let me count how many soldiers I have, to see if I can really be protected. And God was not happy with them. You can find that story in 2 Samuel chapter 24. And so God gave David three options. This, God and David had a relationship. God said, now David, you have three things from which to choose a punishment, okay? One, for 3 years there's going to be famine. Two, for 3 months you are going to be on the run. Your enemies are going to be on your neck. Third, I'll send a plague on you for 3 days. David said, I would rather fall in the hands of a merciful God than in the hands of an enemy. So he said, send a plague. At least I know I'm punished within your hands. And it was bad. Over 70,000 people died. And then one of the prophets came and said, David, go and repent. But because David was on the run, he couldn't go to the temple. He needed to set up a place. And so he found a landowner and he said, can I please use this place to set up an altar so I can give a sacrifice to God? The landowner said, David, I know you. You are our king. Please use it for free. David said, I'm not going to receive anything for free. I am not going to give to God a sacrifice that costs me nothing. He understood sacrificial giving. The Macedonian church gave sacrificially. Everybody says sacrificially. Secondly, and I want to go through this quickly, is they gave willingly. So willingly. The Bible says entirely on their own, they urgently pleaded with us for the privilege of sharing in this service to the Lord's people. They were not coerced. They just heard there was a need and they said, Paul, we want to participate. The Bible says they begged to be a part of it. Our miracle missions offering, my friends, is a free will offering. We are never ever going to stand here as Watoto Church and coerce people to give. We invite people to participate. And we all participate in this giving. It's a free will. It's a free will giving. Like the Macedonian church, they out of their willingness, they wanted to be generous. And the way we express our willingness here at Watoto Church when we're going to give at our miracle offering is, my friend, we pull the latest dance strokes. You cannot force people to dance. It comes out of their hearts. And so when they're coming to give, the free willingness is seen in their dancing. If you coerce people, they just come quickly and they go. But here we do it original style. We come dancing, come on. And we give because God loves a cheerful giver. That's one who gives from a willing heart. That's how they were. 2 Corinthians 9:7 says this in the Passion Translation. Let giving flow from your heart, not from a sense of religious duty. Let it spring up freely from the joy of giving, all because God loves hilarious generosity. So it's a free will giving. It's between you and God, and you come and give. That's how the Macedonian church was. And finally, so they gave sacrificially, they gave willingly, finally, they gave in faith. My friends, sacrificial giving is faith giving. This church didn't have much, we already say. They were poor. In fact, they're going through severe trial. It takes faith for you to think about others first when you're going through challenges yourself. It takes faith. It takes faith for you to say, I'm going to participate and I'm going to trust God to provide for the figure He has laid on my heart, and I'm going to give it. It takes faith. Because for some of us, God is going to stretch us beyond. In fact, for all of us, if we honestly go before God, God likes to stretch our faith. He says there's more. You can do more. And the reason God wants us to do more isn't for just, oh, you've done more. He's checking our faith. Are we willing to trust Him more than the resources we have? The Macedonian church chose not to look at their circumstances or what they had and what they were going through. By faith, they chose and said, Paul, don't deprive us. We are going to give towards this cause. When God spoke to us to give $1 million as a church, the world was going through a global meltdown. The economy wasn't just bad in Uganda, it was bad globally. But God spoke, and by faith, Watoto Church responded. We didn't give $1 million, we gave $1.1 million. That was evidence that when we take a faith journey, God will provide. Not only did we give $1.1 million, God turned around the giving of Watoto Church. We saw an increase in the tithes and the offerings. We never went back. It just grew more and more. This is what that tells me. When you obey God in faith, He opens the windows of heaven. He pours out so much blessing. And guess what? He is praised because He honors His word. So as we prepare to give our miracle offering, this is not just about a season Watoto Church goes through. This is about God's kingdom. It's about advancing His kingdom. And this miracle offering is about transforming lives and communities. When life is changed, God is praised. But also, God honors His word. He says, "Test me in this. Give your tithes and offerings. See if I won't pour out a blessing upon you." So as we prepare our hearts, I encourage us to have the same heart that the Macedonian churches had. Get that envelope every day. Pray about it. And as you pray, think about it and say, "God, I want to give sacrificially. And I don't want to give because somebody is forcing me to give. No. I want it to flow out of my heart because God loves a cheerful giver. I want to give willingly. But I also want you to be a person of faith. Say, God, whatever you lay in my heart, it may be beyond my immediate capacity, but I'm going to trust you. You will provide. Because you know what? Our God will supply everything you need to give in the miracle offering." It's about our hearts.
Thank you so much for joining us today. We hope this message has inspired you to spread the love of Jesus. If you would love to know more information about us, please visit www.watotochurch.com.